Welcome into the second hour of the programme. Coming up after 11, jockey Dylan Brown McMonagall will be joining us. He is the 2025 champion flat jockey and is up there with some of the best sporting people we've ever produced and may well top that list, who's to say, by the end of his career. Lots of you messaging in on various subjects. So I'll talk about self-service first. Restores who encourage us to use self-checkout. Surely now that customers are doing the work formerly done by store employees, we should get invited to the staff Christmas dinner. Seems only fair to me. Yeah, sometimes you do feel like you're working there, don't you? In relation to the caller talking about the queues in Penny's, I totally agree. The queue was down the floor past the nightwear and only two staff on tills. I asked a manager why they wouldn't open another till. They said they weren't allowed. He said their automated system is telling them that they are getting through the appropriate number of customers per hour and head office won't let them open another till because of that. He did also say that the self-service works for the likes of Dublin and Galway, but that maybe not so much in Letterkenny. I asked if they would open the tills across the other side of the shop and they said no, they have to go by the computer and what it's telling them. Imagine that Christmas trade is going to be like. They probably hope people will get used to it. Back to the roads. Get all the councillors on your show who voted for this. We need to know their reasons. And when it comes to local elections, we know who done what. People need to protest, which is as far as it's gone in terms of what people might do against these roadworks. Sitting in traffic on Friday afternoon at the ATU, I noticed that the Port Road was only getting a green light for 30 seconds, while the Blaney Road got 60 seconds. The lights are good, but need to be allocated better. Thanks, Greg. Keep highlighting this management by the council. Morning, Greg. Why are these councillors who voted for these roadworks, or where are they? They're avoiding all responsibility. They should be named repeatedly until they come on and explain it. Well, this is public information that's out there. I'm not going to start sort of what might be seen as harassing individuals who voted a certain way. That stuff is out there, and I read the names out. Amongst them is Councillor Jay McMonagle, and we did invite him on this morning, and he instantly said yes, so we'll be chatting to him a little later on. Also, Kieran Brogan is now on blah-blahing about Letterkenny be open for business. He's blocked the silly bridge for years. The cyclists never use the cycle road on the four lanes, and the other thing is that when the road sweeper cleans the road, it sweeps all the dirt and debris onto the cycle lanes. Another, can we get clarity on why the Bonaghy Link was not developed following the purchase of the land for it nearly 15 years ago? It was in the plans long before the 10T Road. There is a rumour circulating that the land at the Bonaghy Roundabout has been sold. Is this true? The public should be informed. I don't know. I'm not aware of that, to be honest with you. And I presume funding was sought for that, and then it was bundled in with the 10T and so on and so forth. You know, you've got the people of Ballybefey and Stranorlar waiting at least 60 years for their works to be done. So it's not just all about Letterkenny, and I presume bundling this together was the best way to get it actually eventually over the line. Though, listening to our expert earlier on CPOs, the start times seem very optimistic. A caller says, seems to happen every year that council waits until the end of the year to start work on the roads while they have all summer to do it. Budgets, if not spent, will be taken back by central government. It's a joke. I'll do another few of these before we take the bingo numbers. Traffic back to Illestrin School this morning. Two lanes, roundabout at the mountain top blocked. Yellow box needed there badly. Another, there you have a councillor on Highland this very morning talking about car parks and how they have to improve it. Some mess in this town, embarrassing to say the least. Another, usually it's cleared by now. I'm not sure what time. That came in at 9:30. So is it cleared by then? Or was it? Mountaintop traffic backed up to Illestrin National School today. That's right at the very bottom of the hill, Caroline, is it? Illestrin National School. Wow. Okay, down there. So you'd be sitting down at the service station there, effectively. I wouldn't like to be at the back end of that. I probably would just turn and go home. I could do the programme from home, actually. Would that be doable, maybe? I don't know. I could do it technically. Can we get clarity on why the... I read that one, and I read that one too. Can we get a list of the politicians who voted in favour of the roadworks in Letterkenny at this time? They should come on there and explain it. Well, their list is there. Worst traffic today compared to... Sorry, the worst traffic today in ages, Ballacdur Garden Centre, the Polestar, in 1 hour. So that's coming in the other direction, isn't it? No, it's not. That's the same. That's coming up mountaintop below us here. Ballacdur Garden Centre, the Polestar, in an hour. I mean, that's not... That's not doable. That's not sustainable. I mean, you couldn't keep doing that for work. You couldn't keep doing that to drop a child off at a creche, or, you know, you couldn't endure that for hospital appointments. Because what time do you leave at to get where you need to go to on time? And that's why it is such a pressing and important issue. Right, we'll be back with more on the 9 till noon show after a short break. Stay where you are. Welcome back to the programme. Just to remind you, for the contacts, 086 60 25000, or you can give us a call on 07491 25000. We're joined on the programme now by Fianna Fáil Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher, who is Deputy Chair of the Joint Directors Committee on Fisheries and Maritime Affairs. Good morning, Pat. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, Greg.
And I suppose, too, we're still digesting the acquittal of Killybegs Bay Sean Ward Fish Exports Limited, a 10-year nightmare that they endured that you don't just get over by one decision, though that might help. What happened? What's going wrong with the administration of rules in this country that cases like this can happen to begin with?
Well, first of all, let me say that this case represents 10 years of unnecessary legal stress for a company who have been proved compliant. This company has provided valuable jobs in Killybegs over the last number of years. The department took against them, culminating in the decision by George Almer in Letterkenny Circuit Court recently that there wasn't sufficient evidence and the case was thrown out. I mean, this was 10 years of nothing short of harassment. And I believe this case, together with others that were thrown out, it's now necessary for the department to carry out a root and branch review of the activities of the departments and of the SFPA. I've been very critical of them over the years, and I would hope that they would become before the Marine Joint Directors Committee over the next number of weeks, and we'll be able to put all of this under the microscope.
If you had an opportunity to put questions to them, what would those questions be?
Well, we'll have to ask them about the evidence going back 10 years ago, when it suggested there was some manipulation of weighing facilities in the factory. And incidentally, up until my time in the Department of the Marine, all fish were weighed on the pier. I saw the futility of that, the damage that it was causing to the quality of the fish that were pumped out from iced water onto trucks to be weighed and then back into ice water again out of minus whatever the temperature was to ambient temperature. In fact, that affected the quality of the fish. And I brought Commissioner Borg, who was the Maltese commissioner at the time, to Killybegs, pointed out to him the seriousness of this. We had further meetings in Brussels, and he decided to allow the weighing of fish in the factories with cameras in every corner of the factory so there could be no manipulation whatsoever. And I've always said that none of the boats landed black fish. And what I mean by black fish is tonnage over and above what they were allowed to fish, because all that ever did, it reduced the prices of the fish. Yep. So we have to look at that once more, particularly in the light of this. But I don't think it's enough just to say that was the court's decision. This must be fully appraised by the minister and by our committee.
But in very basic layman's terms, effectively, this is an internal issue. This is how we are administering European rules. They can be applied very differently in other parts of Europe. Why are we applying them in this manner? You talked about cameras and people ending up in court because there was a cobweb over a camera. Why are they so stringently applied or over-applied in this country? It's not coming from Brussels. We're doing this ourselves. Why is that happening?
Well, of course, Ireland have a reputation for being better Europeans than Irish. And I have raised this time and time again. So it's a matter now for the minister and the department to ensure that we administer the rules and regulations similarly to other parts of Europe. And I'll give you a very clear example. The first time ever in the history of the state, and it might never happen again, that I took in a motion to the Dáil in 2016, 2020 to rescind a statutory instrument introduced by Michael Creed to penalise fishermen for minor infringements. I was successful in doing that. And of course, once I my back was seen leaving Leinster House, it was then it was reversed again. Those don't happen in other parts of Europe. So we're totally over the top. And the government will now, with the support of the minister, ensure that they implement the rules and regulations at European level simultaneously. It's a common European policy on fish, so therefore there should be a common policy on infringements.
But should there not be some sort of a suspension at this point of the operations of this arm of the state, given the reputational damage, surely, that must come from failed court cases, senior backbenchers like yourself calling it out, opposition parties calling it out, leaders of fish processors, fish organisations calling it out. I mean, where is the accountability with all of this negativity? How could, as I say, this group, this regulatory authority or whatever you phrase it, that should actually be active?
Well, the Sea Fisheries Protection Agency was set up under statute, the regulatory authority, but we now have to, having seen the outcome of the court, then it strengthens the arm of the minister and indeed ourselves in the Joint Coraptus Committee to challenge the Sea Fisheries Protection Authority now with a view to ensuring that they would give us the answers why this harassment went on for 10 years, totally unnecessary. People in the industry have enough to worry about without having this over hanging over their head. I remember very well a number of years ago when a number of factories and homes of fishermen were raided, computers taken away. Nothing has ever been heard of that since. So they have to be accountable for all of this. And I think this decision is a watershed that hopefully, as a result of that, we'll be able to turn all of this around.
When do you expect to meet the minister and what do you expect them to do?
Well, first of all, we were due to meet tomorrow, actually, but due to the inauguration, the House will not be sitting, so that will be in the next few weeks. No, I think, first of all, it's more important that we meet the Sea Fisheries Authority to deal with this. When we meet the minister, we want to concentrate on the most immediate one that we have at the moment, and that's the drastic reduction in tax and quotas, which are coming before the European Council of Marine Ministers in the middle of December. But I believe a lot of work has to be done before that. And ironically, I'm writing to all my party's ministers today, outlining very clearly what I believe should be done to support the minister. There are many countries in the European Union that are non-coastal, and those non-coastal countries would normally support the Commission. I'm asking the minister for Foreign Affairs to make contact with all of the ambassadors of all of the countries to outline for them the serious situation that we're experiencing now as a result of the proposal to reduce mackerel by 70%, blue whiting by 41%, and nephrops in the south and east by 38%. There's a lot of work to be done there, and indeed all of this could result in the loss of at least 200 million to the economy. It's a very serious situation for the fishing
unfortunately, you talked about, you know, people want to be great Europeans rather than great Irish citizens. Unfortunately, that seems to go all the way to the top.
No, I'm talking about the reduction of the quotas.
I know, I'm on about the level of resistance we put up to these, as a country to some of these quota negotiations and some of these decisions that are made for us.
Well, I'm the decisions that are made for us when it comes to regulations, that's one, and when it comes to quotas is another. But if we deal with regulations, the first throw of the dice there is when we interview the SFPA within the next few weeks. It's normally on a Tuesday morning. We'll be doing that. But simultaneously with that, we can have all the regulations we like, but if we don't have fish, then we don't have to worry about regulations. And this is why I'm so concerned about the tax and quotas. And it's for that reason that I'm writing to all the ministers today, requesting them to fully support our Marine Minister, Timmy Dooley, and his endeavours, and also the Minister for Foreign Affairs to contact all the foreign ambassadors to outline the serious situation. This, I'm in politics a long time. This is the most serious situation that we have ever experienced.
All right, thank you so much for your time on that. We'll watch on with interest. That's Pat the Cope Gallagher, who is Deputy Chair of the Joint Directors Committee on Fisheries and Maritime Affairs. And if they were to get that organisation in front of the a committee, it might make for some very interesting reading. Right. Michael D. Higgins says the listener may have been a good president, but he signed everything the government asked him to. He signed to hide the mother and baby files, and he signed the property tax bill, which many people struggled to pay. Hopefully our new president will not sign everything put in front of her. Well, he didn't sign everything put in front of him. I must get actually a bit of a breakdown, because he did refer quite a number of bills. What it does actually effectively is nothing. And I certainly, if I were you, wouldn't be holding my breath to see anything being actually blocked or changed because of the acts of the next president, because that's just literally not how the system is set up. My daughter bought bacon on the 1st of November. The use-by date was on the packet for the 6th of November. It was opened on the 3rd and it was stinking. You knew it was off. The manager replaced it, as we are good customers. The manager said they couldn't guarantee that the cold chain was broken, so they weren't obliged to refund us. How does this affect the consumer protection laws? Does it stretch as far as milk? It's an interesting one. I've never experienced this. Sometimes, though, you could get a puncture hole in bacon, you know, and that would allow air through it, or maybe someone misdated it. I don't know. It depends which kind of bacon you're buying. Any of the bacon I buy has a far longer best before date than 5 or 6 days ahead. And if it was getting to within 3 days, I probably would be wobbling a bit. The manager changed it because they're good customers, but said they couldn't guarantee the cold chain was broken, so they weren't obliged to refund us, but they did. What's the situation there in terms of the consumer protection laws and how that might apply? I would have thought that if you buy a product within the sell-by date and it's not right, you have every right, if you know what I mean. I don't buy that cold chain nonsense, to be honest with you. Bicycle clubs don't even use cycle lanes as they aren't wide enough for them. Have we heard what the cycling clubs think of the cycle lanes? There's only a handful of people who cycle on our roads. Businesses will be badly affected by this Christmas. Listen, cycle lanes aren't for the professional or, you know, club member cyclists. They're not. Therefore, the idea of this cycle lane is right, that you get on your bike here at the mountaintop, and in my head, it's got like cross handlebars and a basket on the front and a basket on the back, and you tootle on down the road, and you go and you get you through a few bits. You know, you get maybe some veg and you put that in the front basket, and maybe a fresh loaf, and you stick that in the back basket. And then you toddle up the lane again all the way up past the hospital and back into your home. And you haven't used your car, right? But you've got your bread and you've got your fruit and what have you on a nice little cycle. You know, it's not for the people in the skin tight outfits. They are going to cycle on the roads because their tires and wheels are so narrow. They wouldn't be fit to cycle on the cycle lanes anyway because they're too rough and there's other traffic on it. Right, we're going to take a break. Councillors Jerry McMonagall of Sinn Féin, who voted for the active travel plan, Councillor Kieran Brogan, Mayor of Letterkenny Milford Municipal District, who voted against it, they will join us in 3 minutes. Okay, so we are seeing active travel plan works underway on the road from the hospital up to the mountaintop, and there seems to be works now beginning from the Polestar roundabout to the Creamery at the, what I would say is a non-tiny, what I would say is the bottom of Letterkenny. We're joined, as I mentioned before the break, by two councillors with opposing views in relation to this. I'll start with you, Councillor McMonagall, Jerry McMonagall. Thank you very much for joining us. And you voted in favour of the active travel plan. And I suppose, you know, what vision were you given of it, or what do you believe the positive implications will be once this work is actually, before I begin, are you in favour of this work ongoing now in the lead up to Christmas?
Well, we'll come under that in the conversation, no doubt, Craig. First of all, good morning.
Good morning.
And thanks for contacting me. We get an opportunity to put across my thoughts on it. Look, this isn't something that came up overnight. We've been sitting in the councils the last two and a half years, looking at these active travel plans, the infrastructural needs of Letterkenny, and what we can and can't do in the short, medium and long term. And we all know the long term goal is to get traffic moving freely around Letterkenny. We also need the 10T, which is at a very advanced stage and it's very welcome, although it's still at least 7 years away if it happens. And it's something we've been waiting for over 20 years. So people can imagine if you are somewhat sceptical at times or worried that it might not be delivered because of many so false dawns on the 10T. But anyway, we are where we are. But the council spoke and discussed this over a couple of years, as I say. We drew up a number of routes. And this was money that was getting made available by the government under their government policy about reducing carbon and getting people out of cars and putting them into more healthy lifestyles and using more accessible and affordable transport. So it's part of a planned structure of initiatives that we have to help alleviate the traffic in Letterkenny. The town bus was another one of them. And unfortunately, we were expecting the town bus to begin this month, this November. That's what we were told by the MTA, National Transport Authority. And we've just heard now that that's been put back to next year at the earliest, this November at the earliest. So there's a number of things that's in the pipeline and nothing that was taken in isolation. And we have to start somewhere. We have in Letterkenny a very busy, as we know, cars on the road all day. But the biggest problem in Letterkenny with traffic is the early morning traffic, people coming into work, and the early evening traffic, people going back out of town. And it's not just going to be one thing that's going to fix that. It's going to be a number of things.
So just in relation to that traffic, Gerry, I don't think there's a car in Letterkenny that doesn't have to be in Letterkenny. Do you believe there are cars there in that traffic that don't need to be there or won't be there once these active travel works are completed? Because that's critical to this, right? This is about reducing traffic. Do you believe that there'll be less traffic on the road once this active travel work is completed?
Yeah, look, if we have the active travel projects in place, it gives people an alternative of getting about the town.
So now, what do you expect?
Greg, it's important that you listen.
I don't need to be scolded.
Yeah, let me finish the point.
But I wouldn't scold you, so I'd prefer if you wouldn't scold me either, if that's okay.
Not scolding you. I'm just asking you to let me finish the point. When we have 23,000 of a population in Letterkenny. Now, they are people who could, if we have the infrastructure in place, consider, well, I could walk the children to school today because it's safer, or I could cycle down to my work, or I can cycle back to my work. And that would reduce the volume of Letterkenny traffic. People who are travelling into it, and we need to look, and Councillor Brogan was on at the meeting on Tuesday about, as a number of councils have been over the years, about park and ride facilities on the periphery of the town, where people could come there, park, a bus then would take you into the town. So, or there could be bikes, like there is at the moment at the back of the IAB, which was launched by Minister McConnell Logue recently, for use. So it's about, yes, in the long term, I think we could reduce traffic of people as live in Letterkenny and probably don't need to take their car to their work because there's another safe mode of travel, i.e. cycle or proper footpaths. So the people coming into it, I mean, because of the success and the growth of Letterkenny over this last 20 years, yeah, look, but they will have to continue to travel into Letterkenny. Of course they will. But if you reduce the traffic in the town, it'll leave, I think, sufficient time and to get about. And with all the other infrastructural needs that we have, if they're delivered, then it's going to be a better place.
So you
but we
are
need to start
of,
somewhere, Greg.
You are of the view that we'll see more people out walking and cycling with these lanes, because you would know the terrain of Letterkenny. You'd be very familiar with the weather. You would see the traffic that you would be breathing in, the exhaust fumes in that process. Like, do you genuinely believe that once this work is concluded, we'll see more people cycling to work, cycling home from work, walking around the place to and from school? That's your actual belief?
Yeah, I believe that if people see that there's a suitable, a safe infrastructure there for people to think of alternative modes of transport. Mm. And we see already the increase in e-scooters and e-bikes. All of this can be facilitated on those cycleways.
Mm. Okay. And, well, they should be on the roads, but they actually aren't on the roads. They're on the footpaths at the moment, those e-scooters.
They're on the footpaths at the moment because we have not got the facilities to allow them to get on a cycleway.
Mm. Before I bring Councillor Kieran Brogan, one question in relation to this. I've not spoken to a person that doesn't think that this would be fantastic once the 10T is completed. Once those that don't want to be in Letterkenny can bypass it, and those who want to be in it can get in there more freely. Do you not think, in hindsight, there's a strong argument that we could have not gone for this tranche of funding and said, yes, this is the future of Letterkenny, but let's get the big issue of the traffic sorted first and then look at this type of stuff?
And Greg, look, I'm sitting in council for over 20 years now, and we've done a number of studies. The most prominent one was probably the Lutz study in 2009, where a number of initiatives were put forward because we had traffic problems back then, to alleviate the traffic problems in Letterkenny. Unfortunately, there was an investment in Letterkenny to address those proposals, and we haven't got it. We're getting investment now through active travel. The active travel will put in place signalised junctions, and particularly in the Remilton Road area, I think that will be very, very beneficial, because what we have at the minute is a massive volume of traffic coming to a small roundabout that is not fit for purpose, and it just log jams because people want to get around the roundabout, they block it, there's no exits out of it, and it's the volume of traffic is our problem.
Yeah, and now, of course, part of that Bonnaghy solution
link,
is to reduce...
Bonnaghy Link, if that comes in, as Letterkenny sits today, if that comes in, it will hit the Knocknamona roundabout, which again is a roundabout which is far too small for the amount of traffic that now has to travel through it on a daily basis. It won't necessarily stop or alleviate the traffic congestion we have on its own. It will help, but we need another number of initiatives to go inside with that. Mm. The upgrade of the Leck Road, the upgrade of the Lundy Hall Road, all of that needs to happen in tandem. And that's why at the meeting last week, I have requested that the minister comes up, visits Letterkenny, sees for themselves and understands the investment that we need to help alleviate the...
Do you not think he might stand up there? Like, that fella hasn't been up here for other issues, so I'm not sure he'll come up for this one. Do you not think, though, he would stand there and say, right, I see your problem. Why are you narrowing roads? Why are you taking lanes away? You want me to fix these problems? Why are you doing that? That doesn't seem to make sense. Are you not concerned the minister might say that?
A part of active travel is about narrowing the carriageway of the road so that people on footpaths and cycleways can access it safely, slow down traffic. Mm. But we're not closing lanes. The same lane in and out of the hospital roundabout will be there. Now, the issues, and this is something we need to look at during it, is there is a number of right turns which they have been looking at and they have kept open. Things you'll find out during the construction.
So just a couple of questions in relation to that, if you don't mind, because I want to bring Kieran Brogan in. So they're not reducing the road, the Remilton Road outside the Mount Errigal. They're no longer reducing that to two lanes then?
They're reducing that for a stretch of it for about 50 or 60 metres. They are doing that for about 50 or 60 metres. And as you know, and because you've heard it on your show, we are trying to get lands that would enable us to have put another lane in and that would alleviate that issue.
So the centre turning lanes, the centre turning lanes in Glencar, they're not being removed either.
Yeah, they are being removed.
So they are. So there are. There's further lanes being reduced.
And can I tell you about them? Because I live in there. I've lived in there for 40 years. They're very minimal, and the traffic that would be turning in right. If you take Simpsons, you have to drive into an opposite right-hand turning lane to access Simpson's right-hand turning lane properly. And I've brought this up on numerous occasions with road engineers, and there's nothing else you can do. But you have to, if you're going into Simpson's coming up the Circle Road from the hospital direction, you nearly always have to go into the right-hand turning lane into Croagh-Patrick to be able to line your car up properly to turn in right.
Okay.
So there's issues on the Circle Road that, look, residents who live in it regularly have been on to me about the speed on the circular road. So there's issues there, and we're trying to address them.
Just between where I'm sitting here now, between from the hospital roundabout up to the next roundabout up there, you'll still be able to come up that hill turning right into St. Connell's, for an example, without actually having to sit in the lane. There'll be turning lanes there as well.
Well, that's now, from what they've seen from the construction of it now, as I said, one or two of them may change. But look, we're going to have to, we learn as we go along. We've looked at things. We were up and we've done a visit up there, and we've seen how the volume of the traffic is. And look, sometimes people just know if someone wants to turn right, let them turn right.
Okay, Councillor.
And a long line of traffic, because you're still going to look, and I keep coming back to it. The volume of traffic within that hour in the morning and going out in the evening is a serious, serious problem.
But you see, I don't know how
we're going to resolve.
It's just not the morning and evening, Gerry. It's right throughout the day that people are encountering this. Councillor Kieran Brogan, sorry, thank you for holding. I just wanted to tease out the various questions that have come in from listeners over the last couple of weeks and allow you your say now as well, of course.
Yeah. Good morning, Greg. Thank you.
What do you think? I mean, you were against these plans. Has anything happened to make you feel that you've got it wrong? Where are we at now as far as you see it? And what are you in favour of these works continuing as they are?
No, I'm not in favour of the works continuing. But I think if you go back to the decision was taken by the elected members who voted for the active travel, the one that's ongoing at the moment from the hospital roundabout, up to the Primerica roundabout. I mean, there's no busier stretch of road in the country, not to mention in the county, than that stretch of road where you have the hospital campus, where you have and around 3,000 people employed there on a daily basis, not to mention the chronic disease hub, the brand new community hospital, which construction is ongoing, over 200 people to be employed there. You have the old Little Angels entrance, you have Knockdemona Terrace, and you have the entrance then to the Donegal Hospice and the new Little Angels School, and also the Errigal College, existing, the new Errigal College, Clahanmore and Wynyard Hall. The exits and entrances coming onto that road is the busiest in the country. When the party it was passed at the time, I was very, as my colleagues were, very vocal and against this, because simply we thought it was premature and it was wrong to take away the right turning lanes. The part that was passed at that time for that stretch of road took away all the right turning lanes. Now, it's emerging now since last Tuesday that they may be reversing some of that decision, and to me that's an acknowledgement of having got it wrong. Nevertheless, it's not about getting something right or who's wrong. What I feel strongest about this is I do honestly feel that the whole exercise is premature, and at a time when you have so many traffic impact assessments available to us, to be taking away part of the carriageway of the road for vehicles, when we all know that the roads in Letterkenny and all the junctions are at full capacity, huge volume, and that's down to the success of the employment centre that we have in Letterkenny, and a lot of the jobs and people coming from not only all over Donegal but other counties as well to work in Letterkenny.
Can I just ask you one question about those changes that were mentioned last Tuesday? How would they retain a right turning lane? Because the carriageway was to be narrowed to slow traffic down. Is it that they're going to make the cycle lanes or the footpaths narrower than were planned, or can they squeeze in the right turn? How are they going to accommodate an extra lane that wasn't in the plans? That I haven't seen it, but I'm just curious as to how they think that can be imagined.
That's actually a very good question, Greg, and maybe that's something that you need to put to the road design team and Donegal County Council, because I think it is. It's not too late for a rethink on all this, and I think what we need to do is we need to have a strong message out that Letterkenny is open for business as the thrive in town. This is a very busy time of the year coming up there to Christmas, and we need to make sure that we manage the message and we also manage the traffic as best we can. And I even said last week at a meeting with the senior management that they need to look at the technology available now on traffic models, because even though we were to improve the traffic by 5 or 10% at some of the junctions, we should be looking at that as a matter of urgency, because we are getting too much negativity around the traffic that we have at the town and how it's not been managed. And I do believe that there would be technology available for us to do that, because I think we've seen, despite all the criticism of it, we've seen the success of the signalised junction at the Polestar and how that's working, and working very well. So I do think, and I've said before, the circular road party that Councillor McMonagall refers to, I mean, the junction of Simpsons to be taken away, the right turning lanes are there, and up at Lane Gar, I think, is wrong as well. It won't prove to be the right decision in time, because I said on your show with you that we should have waited until we had the Windy Hall Northern Relief Road complete, and then you'd be taking so many vehicles away from that road and circular road, and it would be a different conversation that you'd be having. And unfortunately, that wasn't accepted at the time either. But I do think it's not too late to have a rethink on some of the projects, because there's nothing worse than us wasting good public money. And to me, to be very honest, when I watched them in the last few weeks going in and breaking up footpaths on that part of the road outside the hospital that were perfectly in good shape, instead of spending money where we need them. And I think that's very hard to take, to be honest. And you know, some of the conversations around the other ones in Ballyrene Road, I think it's very premature as well. And I think this is all thought out, to be honest. And it's not too late there to think about it. And I think if the senior management team, and I've asked and all the elected members in Milford the last day, asked if we would have the chief executive of Donegal County Council and the director of roads sitting down with all the road design team and the TII to look at to see what we can do to try and improve the situation. Because, as I said, we need to be sure that we can manage this in a positive way.
Okay.
And look, if somebody got something wrong, there's no harm in putting their hands up and saying, maybe we should leave this for some time.
Mm.
And, you know, it's not about one versus the other. This is about how we manage the traffic situation of a very successful town in Letterkenny.
Like Councillor McMonagall, you revealed there, you know, real troubling news about a delay to the town bus service. I mean, are you confident that the plans that you voted in favour of actually accommodate a town bus service that you can hop on and hop off, because I don't see any provision for, you know, bus bays, or it doesn't, those active travel plans don't seem to take into account the town bus routes and how people might use that bus at all. But maybe there's something there I haven't seen.
The majority of councillors in Letterkenny Milford MD voted in favour of this, not just Donegal County Council majority voted for in favour of this. But look, I think and Kieran will agree with this, it's a package of initiatives and solutions is going to sort out the traffic problem in Letterkenny, not just one. And look, and it's fantastic that we have this problem. It shows you the thriving town that we live in, and the visions that was there, and indeed for the future to develop in India City. And we need to prepare for that. We need to plan for the future.
Mm.
And there's a number of initiatives that will help plan for the future.
Do you believe the new active travel roads have been designed with a town bus service in mind?
Yeah, but you see, you're coming from this here, Greg, that they're always going to be the same amount of volume of traffic.
Mm.
And maybe if these initiatives are in a local bus service, active travel routes, along with the upgrading of Windy Hall, Leck Road and the Bonagie Link when it's delivered, that is going to reduce the volume of traffic in and around the town. So then, like, when we go and when we see other towns that have, you know, availed of this and they benefit from it, we need a public bus service. That there would reduce traffic
But the population growth, Gerry, you have to factor in population growth between now and 2050.
Yeah, of course you do. And that hasn't been done in Letterkenny as regards the infrastructure to support that growing population over this last 20 years, I would argue. Because very little has changed in relation to the many roads we have. But look at how many cars was quadrupled over that same period of time.
Yeah.
But we didn't build or put in the infrastructure.
Well, listen, I'm not
demand.
A councillor and I wouldn't have the balls to be one, but we're an ageing population and I see a town being developed that is more for a youthful population. But anyway, it's there. Gerry, I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, there's regeneration and everything. We have a university sitting on our doorstep now with almost 5,500 students.
Fantastic, yeah, true.
And that there will always be young people. Uh-huh. We're investing all the time, and that's what we should be investing in, and we should be looking after our elderly, of course we should, and that's why a town bus service, a regular town bus service, safe places where they can walk to their local shop with a footpath, slow moving the single line carriageways, the crossing points on MR, they're all so important, and they're about future proofing for when people get older and they maybe aren't as nimble as what they once were.
Right, okay.
So there's all of that. It has a lot to do with that as well.
Okay, and just very finally, you're not calling for the works to be suspended till after Christmas. Whilst we have the money, whilst we have the people on the ground, you want to see them continue.
Well, we're in a contract now with the contractors, and I don't know if we were to stop the work tomorrow, what that would be legally. And the other thing is, look, it's been the policy in the town here and the run up to Christmas that roadworks will be suspended, and I certainly have been asking that question last week and encouraging that we continue with that policy we do suspend the roadworks.
I'm not an engineer, but given the nature of these works, what would they be leaving behind suspended? But anyway, listen, thank you very much for your time. That's Sinn Féin Councillor Jane McMonagall. Kieran Brogan, thank you.
Yeah, Greg, I just want to say that I agree fully with your points around the new town bus service, because the schedule and the time of the journeys is very important. So that's why I had a motion passed last week that we meet with Traffic Infrastructure Ireland to make sure that we have a joined up thinking and a pathway to put the proper infrastructure in place for that as well. And I think, again, that demonstrates the fact of travel being premature ahead of the bus service as well. So I agree with you on that point fully.
Thank you.